Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, B-Fan Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and as always, thank you for giving me your time. Oh, you know what else I learned? Mm-hmm. I can record, like, I didn't know this before. I could put it on a photo booth.
Oh, nice. You know what, too? Let me get my hands into B-Rolls real quick.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we back. I got everything set up. I'm trying to start the video. Alright, now you can introduce yourself.
Well, hi everyone, I'm Rebecca Eloisa. I am owner of Kona Rise Digital Marketing, a digital marketing agency. Mm-hmm. I'm a proud USC alumni.
Yeah, fight on.
I'm a digital nomad, so I travel all around the world and I work and run my agency from my handy-dandy laptop.
Yeah. Apple got to sponsor you, get you all the good equipment. But where do we start? I guess, how fresh are you out of college? Is this your first year out?
No, I graduated in 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how was that whole experience, you think? Just in a nutshell.
College. I loved college.
Really?
Yeah. So I went to community college first. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted specifically to go to USC.
Yeah.
I didn't get in out of high school. I got into some other California schools. But once I got to USC, I was like, these are my people. Mm-hmm. This is my space. They're like high achievers who are also talented and also very beautiful people. It's like, it's hard to get that combination.
It is.
And so I feel like USC has that perfect mix of that.
Mm-hmm.
And met some of my best friends there. And I always tell people, like, USC is so different than other universities because it's like you are working with like the change makers of society.
Yeah. So that's a lot of people like that. You said you went into journalism. How was that experience? Wanting to be a journalist? Did you always want to be a journalist? What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, from a kid, I wanted to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. I would like pretend like I was I owned a newspaper.
Yeah.
So I would like do like the newspaper of like our house with our family.
What was it called?
I don't remember. But my grandfather actually started one of the first black-owned newspapers in Columbus, Ohio.
Wow.
So I think writing and telling people stories was in my blood.
It was already there. It runs in the family.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything specific that you want to talk about today? Anything that's been on your mind lately? Because mm-hmm. usually I just freeform the podcast, just freestyling it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I would like to do is learn more about your audience.
My audience.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta do some more looking at the analytics, but like right now it's mostly like people that I met and continue to meet, because mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, coming to college I started fresh with an entirely new Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had one back in high school, but I kind of cut social media out in high school and just, you know, I always knew people, so I wasn't too hard to socialize or too hard to keep up with people. I was still in the mix.
Yeah.
But on my way to school I was like, all right, I got to be able to sort of document this from the start. I want to see how many people I can meet from this point forward. Because mm-hmm. it's easy to get lost in the old account because you kind of lose touch of who you met, what's fake, what's real. So I was like, all right, completely organic account.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens. I'm going to start from the beginning. So I start that up. I end up getting a big boost when I announced my college decision. So I had all my friends from school hyping me up, a bunch of people that was finding me from my old account.
I'm sorry.
She could be as curious as she was.
She's gonna step on your keyboard.
As long as she don't press the stop button.
She will. She'll try to press the stop.
But sorry. No, it's fine. But yeah, so who's the, oh, that was probably the camera.
Oh.
Okay. But, yeah, so, new Instagram account, and it was a bunch of people. So, by the time I got out to college, I was handing that out, meeting people, connecting,
mm-hmm.
doing this, doing that. And, I didn't really tell anybody about the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, because I wanted to keep it a secret until, you know, you want to work behind the scenes. And I think I ended up either slipping up and telling somebody or I ended up posting it. And all my friends was like, what, you got a podcast? I didn't know this. So they started listening to it, and then it sort of kind of took off for a little bit. Like, people were actually interested in what I had to say, so I started to post more about it, and mm-hmm. I used my main account as a sort of boost to like let it come with me, and then it became sort of a good touching point when meeting people. So yeah. They'd be like, what do you do? And I'll be like, oh, well, I have a podcast. And that's a good conversation starter. And from there on out, it's just been growing and growing and growing. A lot of people from at school listen to it back at home. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be on top of the schools that all my friends go to across the country. So we got people down south listening, yeah. Midwest, in the middle of the country. And somehow, I don't know how other people found it, but it gets like all over the world now. So it's in different countries. I know it's in Polynesia somewhere, Asia, Europe, Africa. I'm like, who are these people? I really want to know, but I don't know. I think it's the audience that I want to cultivate to. It's just people who look to listen, you know what I'm saying, and want to talk as well. And the best thing that we could do as people is listen to others, because we all want to be heard. Yeah. So I think it's for the people that want to be heard and have something, a story to tell, but just either don't know how to convey the story, don't know what it takes to, you know, put the message out, or people who just want to listen to other people's story and learn something. So I think that's pretty much the audience that I'm going for. And my YouTube account. I got this really grand idea to start sort of a production company.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I'm going to get into and want to do this summer. And it's starting with the VHS, little VHS camcorder. One of my friends let me use his, and I just fell in love with it. I always loved movies, and I always been trying to figure out, how do I make my own? So I go on, like, I just take it with me on my small adventures. Mm-hmm. And boom, 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 chop up the video. It ended up coming out nice. I never plan anything in terms of what the video has. And then I just, whatever clips I can gather, I let those work themselves out. I just try to see what can I build from what I have. Because once you start to plan out everything, it becomes not so much as organic anymore. Now, if you're creating a short film, then you want to plan out your cuts and your scenes and stuff. But if you just trying to document your life, you're not going to get everything, and you shouldn't want to get every moment. Some moments do not belong on the camera. No. Sometimes I look at my phone and be like, you know, it's a picture worthy moment, but it's not a picture time. Just enjoy it with your eyes and just remember it and feel it.
So
being able to be authentic with the camera, with the video, and with the podcast is all I look to do.
I love that, especially in the beginning, in terms of social media, because like I work in social media marketing.
Yeah.
So like everything is very planned out.
Mm-hmm.
But for all the content creators I work with, they're all like over 500K subscribers to 1 million subscribers. Yeah. They're like pretty big.
Yeah.
But the way that they started was because they had an interest in something, and then they just started creating content around it.
Mm-hmm.
But like top of mind, like, ooh, this inspires me. I'm going to create this right now. Yeah. I'm going to create this today. And it's been from speaking from your heart and by capturing like authentic moments, that is what people like to learn about and what they like to hear.
Because it's more so the feeling, because people will never forget how you make them feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that has stuck with me. And I continue to keep learning that lesson with the people that I meet, because it's no matter how long ago you meet somebody or whatever the situation was, as long as you leave a certain type of feeling inside their heart or wherever their feelings may reside, they gonna remember you. Even if they don't remember your name, they gonna remember you. They gonna see the face, and it's something about the brain that remembers the emotions, and it's gonna bring it back up, and they gonna welcome you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might reject you if it was a negative emotion. But just not think about that.
And like the cool thing about social media and like this platform, like podcasting, like YouTube, is that you can reach, like you said, there's your audience, people that listen, they're all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you like, versus just going maybe to USC and talking to people, but through this medium, like you're able to reach like potentially like hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah. And what's crazy is, how do I put it? We've always been able, news has always been able to reach a wide audience of people. But I think one of the drawbacks in the past was that you weren't able to connect with the people that were getting the news delivered to them. Like, it could be a world spread news or whatever. You could send a newspaper anywhere, but you can't really hear their feedback.
It was just one-sided.
Yeah, it was really one-sided. So talk. But now, technology has evolved, and it's like, look, you can talk to somebody all the way across the world, and they can reach back to you. Mm-hmm. And now you guys can have this conversation, and now, I don't know, it's just beautiful how it can work.
I also love it because, like, also coming from a background in legacy media, like, working at GMA, you need like a producer or someone. Like, say if you're promoting a book, you need to know a producer.
Yeah.
And they need to get you on. But there's like gatekeepers to like blowing up on TV. But with social media, if you have like the right story and you're authentic, no matter what you look like or your background is, like, you can share your message.
Yeah, and it's always gonna be a audience that ends up catering to you.
Mm-hmm.
It can get. One thing I was learning in marketing was like, you gotta find your target audience. And one thing I took away from that was, don't try to cultivate to the audience that you're trying to find, because then it's not authentic. Then you're gonna have, that's where the writer's block start to come in. That's where the creative droughts start to happen. Like, all creatives are gonna have, you know, they creative droughts or whatever, where they just can't think of nothing, but they'll always know what's home. Once you step out of what's home and you start trying to people please, it's gonna be harder and harder to come up with those ideas, because you always looking for the feedback from that audience. When instead, you should just be you and let your audience find you. And then once you understand what that audience is, then you'll already know what they want. You just got to keep giving them what they want. And then at the same time, you can't be afraid to grow through that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to lose a couple followers to get to the next level. You know what I'm saying? You might have to lose two or three here to gain another 500 over there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's natural. That's what happens with life. Once you grow and you get through something, some people leave, and then you get a whole nother group of people to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Some people stay, some people go, but that's really just, that's life.
Yeah, and you know, that's actually, that translates to relationships too.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot on boundaries in relationships, and that is a thing, especially like in dating. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to be yourself.
I'm gonna make sure it's recorded, because I get anxious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You want to make sure that you're yourself 100%.
Oh, yeah.
And that person, they may like part of you, but maybe not like all of you. But
yeah.
And it's okay, because there's so many people out there. But when you are authentically yourself and you dress how you want to dress, you talk how you want to talk, you're honest about your religious beliefs and future goals and stuff.
Yeah.
Then you'll attract the right person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's all about being patient at the same time. Because once you start to, you know, force yourself into something, it's just not going to work. Because like what we've been talking about the whole time, being authentic and being you and figuring out who you are. And it's not always going to be, oh, great. This is great. I watched a TED Talk this morning about how to deal with the other parts of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And the lady was started off with the quote that she hears often, is that you can't love anybody until you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you can learn to love yourself through experiences with other people.
Mm.
So it's like, one, you gotta understand a general idea of who you are, how you react, what different personalities you have. It might sound crazy, but we all have different personalities and we all react to things in different ways. And once you get a good understanding of how you react and what triggers you, then you're able to move forward to the next step, which is communication with others. And if you are able to, bring it back the listening part, listen to other people, the parts that most resonate with you will speak through them. So you'll be able to hold on to that. And once you learn to communicate with yourself to that certain part, you'll be able to communicate to that same part within them.
Mm-hmm.
A big thing I push is that a lot of people are reflections of the person in front of you. So
yeah, our relationships are mirrors to ourselves.
So it's like, once you learn how to talk to yourself, you know how to talk to almost anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And people that, it may seem like some people aren't willing to listen to you or they feel some type of way. It's not that. You just got to be able to break down that barrier that they have. And it's only so far you can go before it's their responsibility to let you in.
Mm-hmm.
You can knock on the door all you want, but they going to have to open the door from the inside. Because the lock's in there. They got to unlock it. They got to open it. And they got to welcome you in. And all you can do is your best to listen to their needs. Tell them that you're here for them.
Yeah.
And get them time to sort of come out the cocoon. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a butterfly. They just got to be able to come out that chrysalis. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, the chrysalis. The cocoon chrysalis. Yeah. I mean, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. yeah, and it just, it's so much to learn through so many different people, especially the interviews that I get. You get to learn people more than what they are. Like I was talking to you before we started, Hank Wozniak. Now, I've never seen or heard of this guy before, but one of my friends sent me his TikTok and was like, you should get him on the podcast. And I'm like, all right, because he already, like, kind of big on TikTok.
He's a USC professor.
Yeah, so he's already big on TikTok. So I didn't even know where to find him, like, at school. So, I don't know, algorithm brought him to me one day. And what I really like to do is big people, the bigger accounts. Not even that I'm, like, sniping at them, but what I really love is when they first post a video, and I get up, like, it comes to my For You page or whatever. It pops up on my algorithm. I could be one of the first to comment. Yeah. So it's like, I don't have to worry about DMing them and they seeing the message. Comment right on the post. Yeah. They got no choice but to see it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I know you see it. It's only 10 of us in this conversation. Yeah. So I commented on this TikTok and he ended up getting back to me. And we set it up. I met him. This was my first year or like my first semester. I met him. We do the interview and then I ended up switching my whole schedule around so I can get that marketing class the next semester. Yeah. I really love that guy. He's a really good guy. And another really good interview that I had was with Heidi Clemons. She's a TikTok influencer. Well, no, she's a real human being. She's not just a TikTok influencer. She's a person that just so happened to have a big following on social media. But one thing that inspired me about her content is how real she keep it every time. She's not afraid to tell you the situation she's going through because that's real life and that's real. So another video she had just so happened to pop up. I comment just out of like, whatever, I'll do it. So boom, I get that text message back. I emailed her. We end up talking and setting it up over Zoom. She lives in California, but I just wasn't going to be able to get down there. So we end up setting it up over Zoom. And that was the most comfortable thing for her. Or no, not Zoom. Riverside.
Oh, wait, that's where she lives? Or that's where you guys filmed it?
It's a website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Riverside is a website. So that's where we did it at. And yeah, she came on. She told me her story. And she's a older individual as well. She like probably in her 60s or 70s. And that podcast was just really great. And I got to learn a lot about this individual I'm just used to seeing through the screen. It was that like I was talking about earlier, that one-sided communication. Like, she was able to get a message to me, but somehow, some way, I was able to actually communicate back with her. So it was, that's just the real-life example of what I was saying. Yeah.
That's the amazing thing. From working in like in Hollywood and then now working with content creators, I definitely love working with content creators because they are creatives. And so they always have like these cool ideas and they're talking about things that like maybe people normally wouldn't talk about. But they are, like you said, like normal people. Yeah. Just like us, you know, but I mean, like, you're a content creator, like, and you have your podcast. And so I think that's really cool. And that allows us online to be able to connect and, like, form these connections, which is one of the reasons why, like, I choose to work in social media for that reason. And then because there are people that are making differences in people's lives. So, like, one of my clients, Anthony O'Neill, he's a financial YouTuber podcaster. And his audience are, like, Black women, and he's teaching them how to get out of debt and how to build generational wealth. So it's, like, he's reaching like hundreds of thousands of people, and if they watch one or two of his podcast episodes, they may learn something that changes like the trajectory of their future,
their whole life,
and like their children's future and children's future. I think that's powerful. And same with like, I have a couple other one, like Dr. Bobby Price. He's like a health and wellness content creator, and his stuff is, he's vegan. He's like, guys, like, we need to start eating healthy, and we need to start growing our own food and drinking living water and all this stuff, because like, by changing your health, you can live a completely different life. It's like the multiverse, like the Spider-Verse. It's like, you, if you don't change your health or don't start paying off debt, versus you be, and you start eating healthy and paying off debt and building wealth. It's like two different versions of yourself. But like, through content creation, you're able to share these messages that can impact somebody's life.
And on that note, last week, this John Russell is his name. Mm-hmm. He just graduated from USC like yesterday, but he's the community chair head over the Alpha fraternity or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I met him at the gym. You know what I'm saying? And we just became friends. And he was always about getting into the community and doing things. So he set up a bunch of these high school visits, mm-hmm. so he can try to get to these kids in these inner cities, because he's from California.
Yeah.
He's trying to get to these kids in these inner cities and talk to them and let them know that higher education exists.
Yeah.
Because, well, I'll preface this. A lot of people in the inner city don't really think about higher learning because it's hard for them to see their own future. You know, I grew up in Detroit, and making it to the age that I'm at now is mm-hmm. like super unheard of. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like mm-hmm. being able to get out of there, and once you make it to that age, what's the next step? Because you didn't really plan that part out. The whole plan was to get to 18, and then once you get to 18, you like, all right, what do I do now?
Yeah.
So if you don't really know what to do now, you start to fall into the life that's already presented in front of you, which is the drugs, the money, the fast cars, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? The stuff that's easy to get to. How do you come up with a plan to get higher in life? So that's mm-hmm. what we was doing. He was getting back to the inner city and saying, all right, look, y'all got to start thinking about higher education. Even if you don't want to go to college, have a plan that you want to put in action. And so we went to these... We went to the last two schools. He planned out 13 over 4 months, and he hit the goal. We went to the last two. Yeah, we went to the last two schools, and we went. We talked to him, and this is a troubled school. Like good, they providing good education, I guess. But
what city was it in?
We were in South Central, LA, and the name of the school was Watts.
Yeah,
something Watts. And then we went to Washington, George Washington. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and we talking to the crowd or whatever. He gave me the microphone. And what did I say? Oh, I really liked what I said. I was like, I came in. I was like, how many of y'all think about what y'all going to do tomorrow? Hands went up. I said, what about next week? Some hands went up. I said, next month. A couple hands went down. Next 5 years, next 10 years. And then a lot of the hands were either up or down. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, how many of y'all write that stuff down? Just like trying to get them to think, and then the hands didn't really go up. And I was like, now why y'all don't write them down? And they was talking about how, well, it's up there, so it'll be up there. And I was like, as long as it's up there, it's gonna stay up there. Because yes, it's important to utilize your imagination, but at the end of the day, your imagination is imagined. You know what I'm saying? So the only way to make the imagination real is by taking that information and writing it on a piece of paper. Now, although writing it down or your imagination or the description of it on a piece of paper doesn't physically bring it right in front of you, you know, so I can't say, I imagine a Mercedes Benz and then write it down on the paper and it pops up like State Farm brought it to me. But it's more so I got the idea out on my paper. Now I can physically look at it. Now this goes from my imagination to being on a piece of paper, to becoming a goal or a task. And goals and tasks are obtainable. We do it every day. You set a task and you do it. That's real. That's not your imagination. That's a real thing. So I was explaining to him, if y'all can do that, then life becomes more manageable. But once that thought is up there, it's subject to so many different things, because it's in there. But it's in there with the rest of your emotions. It's in there with the rest of your feelings. So a happy imagination yesterday could be the worst nightmare today. So once you get it out, you're going to know how you feel when you wrote it. And you're going to look at it, and that's going to be your why. That's what's going to bring you back. And that's pretty much a nutshell of what I was trying to get to them. And not all of them was picking it up. But I was saying to myself, like, as long as I hit one person, you know what I'm saying? You hit one person, you could change 10 lives. You change 10, you could change 100. You change 100, you could change a million. And a million, you could change the whole world. So it's like, being able, how can I reach that one person? What do I have to say? And once that's like the audience you're trying to reach, I'm gonna say something, you know what I'm saying? Whoever pick it up end up being the audience.
I think that's beautiful. That like brought up so many different thoughts in my mind, because I'm thinking back to like, one, through my work, I feel like by amplifying my clients' messages, that's what it's like. That's like, I feel like that's doing God's work. Because it's such an awesome like message that's going out. And then what you were saying also made me think of the times in my life where people were actually like feeding into me that way. So like one of the ways that for me, like, when I was working full-time, I had, like, this name brand job out of college, which is, like, at school, especially at USC, that's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
I was, like, living it up. But I started realizing during the pandemic that I was super burned out and tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was, like, at my computer, like, 12 hours a day.
No.
Like, I was working like crazy. And, like, as a creative, you need time to do nothing so that you can come up with your ideas.
That's so crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And so I wasn't being creative at all. It was so rough. And actually what ended up happening is one day, also my health was acting up.
Like, yeah.
I was 15 pounds heavier.
Dang.
I had like my bad skin. My hair was falling out. I don't know why.
No.
And one day, and this is where it's going to get kind of deep.
Okay.
But I was going on a walk early in the morning before work started to just clear my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing at a stoplight and everybody was like driving to go to school. And I had for a split second a thought like, What if I stepped into traffic?
Yep.
And then I was like, I could finally rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like pondering on that. And then I realized like, whoa, Becca, that's the first time you've ever had a thought like that.
Yeah.
That's not healthy. That's not good. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, hold up. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Something's not right. And so what I ended up doing was, at that moment, I decided, okay, I need to drop everything and recalibrate and get back to my heart and see what do I need.
Yeah.
Not what trying to get the great grades at SC or not trying to make it to graduation, not trying to get the name brand job, not trying to do all these different things that like the world wants you to do or that society or expectations put on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I end up going and quitting my job.
Good.
I moved back home with my parents.
Nice.
So then I paid off all my debt.
Yes.
My student loans.
Yes.
And this one, I don't know if you're going to say yes to this. I was in like a long-term, very committed relationship.
Ooh.
Ended the relationship.
Had to cut it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know where it was coming from.
Okay.
And
yeah, like we were saying earlier, you grow and you kind of outgrow people. But
yeah. Go ahead. And so then I went home and just like healed. Mm-hmm. And I think my body was in survival mode because I just like slept.
Oh, yeah.
I slept like crazy. And ended up deciding when I step back into like normal life,
yeah,
I'm going to only do what I want to do and that's it.
Yes.
And so even if it's crazy, uh-huh, and even if it's going to be a bad influence on my brother and sister, like, no matter what it is, if I want to do it, I'm going to do it.
You go do it.
Yeah. And so what that eventually led me to was later on in the year, around Christmas time, booking a flight,
mm-hmm,
to Bali, Indonesia.
Shit.
And went to go visit some friends.
Yeah.
And ended up staying for 3 months and like basically living there.
That's what it is. That's, yeah, what you want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And during that time, I opened up my laptop for the first time again after like months. And I was, yeah, like, okay, what I want to do is I want to grow my business.
Yes.
And I want to create my own schedule. And I want to be able to live and travel the world.
Yeah.
And so during that time in Bali, I did a bunch of new things I'd never done before, which was so much fun. Like rode scooters. It's like a playground.
Yeah.
And tried so much different food and made friends and was out late. And it was crazy. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And then in coming home, same thing. I decided like, okay, I need to always check in with my heart and see, is this okay?
Yeah.
And it's like, even with business, because for me, I would say yes to everything. Like, I would say yes to any clients. I didn't really have boundaries with my bosses.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was scared to say no to them.
Yeah.
And so then now with my business, I was like, if I don't want to do something a client asks me to, I'm going to say no.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to set the expectation. And then I learned that they respect me even more,
mm-hmm,
since doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like 2021 when all that stuff went down.
Yeah.
And now it's like 3 years later.
Yeah.
And like since then, in that, because I made that decision to stop living on the hamster wheel,
mm-hmm,
of doing what everyone says you gotta do,
man, that's the worst
by
wheel.
A certain age.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Since then, like I've like probably like 5x my business income. Like I'm making more money than I would have if I would have stayed in my full-time job in,
yeah,
Hollywood.
Damn.
Like My health has improved a lot. I like instantly, I think for me, it's like living within like my feminine like rhythm of,
yeah,
like being a woman. Like I dropped like the extra weight. My skin cleared up. My hair got thicker. Just like I just felt more connected to my body.
Yeah.
my intuition, yeah, like all of that.
That's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. And to even backtrack into that story, the creatives need a break.
Yeah.
Something so crazy. I was just talking about this the other day. I had realized it's been a couple of weeks since I had posted an episode on my podcast, because I was consistent. I was super consistent. And it was like, boom, once a week. That was my goal. All I had to do was complete once a week. And I end up making like 60, 70 episodes. And it's like, now that's consistency. It's a lot of podcasts out here that stop because they try to either post too often or they got too many big ideas that they want to get out. And that's no problem with having that many ideas. It's just you can find yourself in this paralysis where so many ideas that you don't do anything at all. So they get stuck in the fear of, what do other people think?
Yes.
So they get stuck in the fear of, oh, what are people going to think if I post this episode?
That's bad. That's massive.
I said in the middle of the episode, I don't really care what anybody thinks about this sentence. You know what I'm going to say it because I want to say it. And I make sure I'm respectful in terms of what I know other people believe. Like, it's some non-negotiable, some boundaries that you just don't step over. Like, politics, stay out of that. Don't do that. Yeah. If you're going to talk about religion, be respectful to the said religion that you are either criticizing or glorifying, whatever I'm doing, however I'm talking about it. Make sure I give it its proper kudos. Mm-hmm. So it's like, even if the person don't agree with me, they can at least respect my comment on the thing. Because everybody has an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was like, dang, I really just don't feel like posting. It passed by because it's finals coming up. I'm studying. Mm-hmm. All of this, it's like the end game for school. Like, I've been living this dream life of having my podcast and everything, but shit, I got to move out. So I'm like, all right, let me get it together. So I end up just not posting. And I used to have a fear of, oh, if I don't post, nobody's going to listen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started to realize the fan base, or I don't like to call it fans, the community, that I've built with these people that I love are going to support me no matter what. And they would rather have good quality work than me just pumping out some bull. You know what I'm saying? Just, I could give you an episode, but is it going to be the episode that you look forward to? You know what I'm saying? Even if you don't know what I'm going to talk about, people look forward to being enlightened and refreshed or reminded, a little recap.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I couldn't. So I just put it down, took my little break, was starting to figure out what I want to do. What's my goals for the summer? Because I know I'm going to do my best to do it this summer. So I'm like, all right, I've really been getting into the film stuff. My dad found the camcorder.
That's so cool. Is that your family camcorder?
Yeah, this is mine. Oh, I wish
from
I had
back
the,
in the day.
Yeah. I wish I had the tape. I had a tape, and it had like me playing soccer when I was like 3 years old on it. And it was so weird watching that so many years in the future, and to think that it came full circle that now I have the camera. Like, something I didn't even know existed. I didn't even know this camera was a thing. I haven't, you know.
It's like a family heirloom, man.
My dad was like, oh, yeah, I got a camera. I was like, what? This whole time, I'm sitting here about to buy one. He like, oh, no, you don't got to do that. Look, I got one. I'll bring it to you.
Aww.
Brought it out, and now that's the goal for the summer. Yeah. How can I get a piece of my life through this? And it's gonna be a whole thing. I know this. I'm taking it with me everywhere I go, and just get little clips here and there that'll show like the progression of the summer, because it's for me. I know other people gonna want to watch it, but it's really for me to watch. Like, sometimes I go sit down and watch my own YouTube video, like, dang, I made this. I did that. That's crazy.
That's funny, because my little sister, Olivia, so when Because I was the same way. Like, when I was a kid, I always walked around with a camcorder.
Yeah.
So now my parents are like, that's so wild that now you work in, like, content creation. Yeah. You were doing this since you were a kid.
Yeah.
And so when I was, like, maybe in junior high, I would make YouTube videos. That's when I started making YouTube videos. Yeah. And my little sister Olivia would be in the videos. And I never wanted her to at first, because, like, you're not following the script and the plan. And she was probably, like, in elementary school.
Yeah.
And now, though, looking back at it, they got like 15,000 views or so. Like, they did pretty well.
Yeah.
And then now looking back, it's like captured a piece of history.
Yeah.
That's more important than the content of the video or what I'm talking about. But just seeing us young like that
and grow into who you are today.
Yeah.
I remember, and you know, something that's always been easy for me at the same time is being able to build a following or build a community.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't know this. I'm not going to disclose any account names, but I used to be, in middle school, I blew up, like, on Instagram. Uh-huh. And I had, like, a meme page, and uh-huh. I was good at doing that. But you got to think, I'm, like, 12, 13 years old running an account with over, like, 20,000 nice. Followers. And it's, like, actually getting likes. Like, it's on the Explore page. Yeah. Like, I'm knowing when to post, how much to post, when to post, what mm-hmm. to post. I'm like, dang. But that just came naturally. I remember when I first got a phone. Mm-hmm. I was, like, how old was I? I was, like, the fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And I had a goal. I'm like,
oh, you're lucky you got a phone in fourth grade.
Fourth or fifth grade, one of those. I remember one year I had turned it down because I was like, no, what do I need a phone for?
It's like, your parents like, are you sure?
Yeah, I was like, I just want to play the game, bro. Like,
yeah.
Buy me some video games. Yeah. I want a damn phone. But I got the phone in, like, I say fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And my goal was to get 1,000 followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And my whole motto was like, if you follow me, I'll give you a shout out. So it was like, for every follower, I would just screenshot their page and post them on the page. Mm-hmm. It was crazy, but it was working. Mm-hmm. And I remember I ended up hitting 1,000 followers, dang. Deleted all the shout outs. And I'm like, boom, I got
it. Yeah.
But I'm like, it's been great. Yeah.
Like a kid.
Yeah. Imagine getting like outplayed by like a damn 10-year-old.
Yeah.
So it's like, being able to do that was really fun. And then middle school, a whole different account. Like, I've ran through so many accounts and was able to build up. I saw myself fall down and learn so many different things and end up becoming a meme. I had made a video that blew up
mm-hmm.
hella. It was all over the world, all over the United States. You'll see it in different YouTube videos,
uh-huh.
getting millions of views. I didn't know how to capitalize on that. So
that's the thing now. It's like, how do you monetize?
Yeah. So I'm like, whatever. You know, it was fun for me to see myself like that. And then my friends were like, bro, I saw you on his YouTube. I'm like, man, you know.
Wait, which meme is it?
It's what did I say? I was like, oh, I had a few. What I would do is like, I would like clap my hand and just say some witty quote. So I'd be like, dang, this what we doing now? And I went up. Oh, it was another one. Oh, it was like, dang, that's tough. And then people thought that was so fucking funny. I didn't think it was that funny, but it ended up blowing up. So I was like, whatever, y'all can have it. And I was like, well, I'm growing out of this. So I set that to the side.
Yeah.
And then during quarantine, I went over to Twitter. And it's like pages that post like quotes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I end up making it big on there. And again, I'm like 14, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to all these people. Like, I know the big accounts. Like, I know accounts with millions of followers now.
Yeah.
Accounts that get viral tweets day in and day out. And it was fun just learning how that system worked. Like, I was behind the scenes of it. I understand what they do to get their initial account blow up. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's always going to take you a little minute to grow if you're organic. But a lot mm-hmm. of what the accounts do now is they come up with, like, growth group chats. Because something about the algorithm, I don't know if it's the same now, but something mm-hmm. about the algorithm on Twitter, a lot of them, even TikTok, Instagram, it's a lot of them that have it. How the post does is really off the initial, you know, sharing of the post. So
the first 2 hours, multiply them. The next 2 hours, mm-hmm. multiply. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So once you post it, you want to get as much engagement in a short amount of period as possible. Because what it does, it posts you out to a broad algorithm, and you're there, and you're in the sphere, and you're floating. And then the engagement is what drags you closer and closer to the target audience, so to speak. So what they would do with the tweets is, boom, I'm going to tweet it at a certain time when the timeline is most active. Like certain days, it's the afternoon because people check their phone during lunchtime. Other times, it's towards the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You never really want to post in the morning because nobody's really scrolling social media. And if they are, they're not looking to repost something funny. So you'll get a lot of your engagement towards the afternoon to the evening. And sometimes a late night tweet will work. But after they post it, we will send it in the group chat. And that group chat will retweet it. And you would get like, it was crazy. It was super illegal towards like using the app. But you would get like 20 retweets in 10 seconds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now it's like a big boost. Like imagine using nitrous or whatever, NOS or whatever they have, and you big you boost to a car. Yeah, so it's like, boom, it gets boosted. And once it hits the big page or hit the front page, and then that's when everybody sees it. Now sometimes it don't work and people will be able to tell if you boosting, but it was just fun doing that. But where a lot of people mess up, this is crazy, I'm just going on about algorithms, but where a lot of people mess up is they boost for too long. So my whole goal was, okay, I'm a because my tweets were good, so I was like, I'm boosting. I got the feedback from people who understand, like, Austin actually good at what he does. So
yeah,
I'm doing the boosting or whatever, and I think like 1 week I had like 4 or 5 viral tweets, like over 200,000 to 300,000 likes each one, and I had like over 1 million likes in like a short span of a few days, and it was like, I don't know how it works, but on Twitter, it's once you blow up, people will just start following you. People don't really pay attention to the ratio in their Twitter account, so they'll just follow you just to follow you. So boom, follow, and I end up growing that page. It went from like 1,000 to 2,000 roughly to like 10,000 by the end of the week, and in the span of like a few days. And so I got to like the 10,000 mark and was like, okay, I'm done boosting, you know what I'm saying? So that's when you start to tweet organically, because the followers are fresh.
Yeah.
So boom, once they come in, boom, you got it. You start tweeting without using a boost, and you start to build your community, your fan base, and people start to get acclimated to seeing your account, and then they'll boost, they'll take it from there.
Yeah.
So it's a little sweet spot.
It's like it gets you started with the momentum.
So it's a little sweet spot you gotta find. I don't recommend just going out and doing that, because you'll kill your brand image. It's better when you do it organically, when you're looking to do something for yourself. But in a monetary aspect, boosting an account is like one of the best ways, because then you can just get the ad revenue and whatever. But take that with what you guys will. Do whatever with the information that you want.
That's important.
Yeah.
One thing about social media too, if you're trying to grow, is making sure that what we do is, like, when we boost posts, we make sure it's like a way to test if the post is good or not.
Faster
than if you just post it organically. And so once you have something that's winning, like a, whether it's like a, something that's like funny, like a funny tweet, you want to find out why it's winning, and then you can multiply that, that kind of post. Like one of our content creators, he is a motivational speaker, and he prays for people. And but he prays on camera, and he always prayed in his office. And then one day he prayed outside, and that one blew up. And then we realized it's when he was outside, because they liked the sunshine. And he would pray with his eyes closed and walk. Like, pray with his eyes closed, walk in public. So then we're like, okay, you gotta film your videos outside. With your eyes closed, walking in public. And then we figured out, too, that everybody liked... That everybody wanted prayers for their love life, too. So if you that's like a winning combo. And then, so if you're growing organically like crazy, then you're, if you want to sell, if you want to monetize it and make a living off of social media, then you have your product or service, and you can put it, probably not for the prayers, but if it was something else, like, you put it in your call to action. Like, and that, because for me, that's a big thing, because I also have always been, it's been easy for me to, like, I guess I get favor on social media, or like go viral. Like during the pandemic, I got COVID. And so I was like in my room, just isolated from everybody. And I was like, I think I'll make a TikTok. And I made a TikTok. And like from that week, I grew like 45,000 followers on TikTok. So I was like, but it was fun. I was just being silly and having fun. And then same for like YouTube, grew a lot in the beginning. And now what I want to do is start focusing more on my own brand versus like always building other people's. But like the key that I'm seeing is like the monetizing it. Because if you're having to work a full-time job and you're doing content creation for fun, eventually like you're not going to be able to give as much to the content creation because you're still trying to make a living. But if you can tie it together and have a product, like an e-product that's selling in your sleep, then that allows you to be more fresh, so you can have time and space to be creative and create even better content for other people.
And that's, I think that's my next step in terms of like growth and stuff.
So yeah, that, brand deals or like sponsors.
I gotta get on that so I can just go out, because I don't like asking for stuff. And I gotta do a better job at, you know what? No, I'm doing exactly what I need to be doing, and it'll work out. So no, that'll probably be my next step in terms of understanding how to monetize.
We can even talk about it too, because that's like one of my specialties.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll get that going. Yeah. Stepping out of the social media, actually keeping into it. It's like like you were emphasizing, it's gonna always be a point, even in life, but like y'all could use this as an analogy or not, but on social media, you're gonna plateau eventually. Yeah. You're gonna have your big moments.
Yeah.
Where you skyrocket, but then you eventually gonna plateau. It's almost like when Stanley came out with the new cup. All right, I learned this in marketing. So what Stanley did?
Tell me.
All right. So Stanley, as a brand, started out. It was a man's brand. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They used to be for like the construction workers.
That's what I thought.
They used to make thermoses or whatever for the construction workers who would eat on lunch and take their thermos with them. But and they was doing all right. What they did was they CMO. I think they ended up either firing him or letting him go, or he left. And they brought in the CMO from Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know Crocs had the big blow a few years ago.
Yeah,
so
they're all ugly shoes and everyone wears them.
So they brought in the guy from Crocs and made him a Stanley guy. So now he's a Stanley guy. And what they did was they started making new like colors of the cups or whatever. Yeah. And then that started to take off a little bit. And then this is when like sort of luck plays in. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure we all seen the video where the lady got into like a car accident or her car blew up,
but
right?
And she survived. Was like,
my Stanley survived. And so off of that, Stanley shot up. I don't want to say billions, but it probably felt like billions. So yeah. Stanley shot up billions in like a week, a month or whatever. And the best thing that they could have did was taking that and using it to their advantage. So yeah, they bought the lady a car.
Mm-hmm.
That adds on to the, not severity of the situation, but like the spontaneity of the situation, I guess you could say. And then they started marketing more products.
Yeah.
So they started coming out with new brand deals. So they started working with Starbucks. They started working with Target. And they learned how to, it's like an arrow that shoots up. They grabbed onto the arrow and held on to it as long as they could. And they boosted their sales. And now they had a way better place than they had been in the previous years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. So that's what they're doing now. And the question we were asking in marketing was like, do we think they will have a resurgence again? Would they ever have another moment like that again?
Right.
And we just didn't know. I just didn't know.
Yeah, because you never know the future. And like, what? It's crazy with that's like untapped audiences.
Yeah.
Because it's a good product.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's for construction workers. Like, they need durable stuff.
Yeah.
But then the fact that, like, just by shifting the colors and, like, showing different people, like, I see a lot of, like, moms with Stanleys or, like, the TikTok influencers that are, like, mommy bloggers and younger girls and stuff, too. So it's like just by showing them, hey, you can use this too, and here's how, like, they picked it up. And there's like millions of untapped audiences, maybe like hundreds of untapped audiences.
Yeah, and if you can get to them, you got them. But you don't want to just be looking for them. You got to make sure they align with what we call your company values or your mission statement and your, what's the other one? Positioning statement.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a marketing episode at this point, but your position. Well, no, these are all analogies for life.
You think about it with the Stanley, like the women who are using Stanleys are almost like the wives of the construction of the blue collar workers.
Because
you don't necessarily see like white collar workers' wives using Stanley, but it's. So it's like almost like this within the same
sphere.
Yeah, it's still within the same values, the same sphere. You know what we could talk really quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I love, and this might help with the like, people listening at home too, but showing like how you can, if you're not trying to market yourself on social media and build a business, but how can you market yourself within your community?
Ooh.
And your workplace or your friends. Because some people have goals to like make more friends because they're lonely in college, or they want to like, maybe they keep getting denied from job interviews. They want to learn how to do that better.
Yeah.
But that goes back to your personal brand.
Yeah. So being able to build that personal brand, I guess you could say positioning statement, even in life. So this would be an analogy for life. Y'all can dissect it, whatever. But basically what your positioning statement is, I like to label it to remember this, who, what, when, where, how.
Mm.
And those are like the key questions that you should be asking. So it's like, who are you trying to reach?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the audience? Who's the target audience? When I don't really know about when, but when are you trying to reach mm-hmm. What's your goal? What's your goal time to reach them by? Because you're not going to wake up tomorrow and know everybody that you want to know. Mm-hmm. Where does this audience stay at? Where do they live? Where do they do most of the work? Where is the subject or sector that they're in? Mm-hmm. Who, what, when, where? Who, what, when, where? What did I forget?
Why?
Oh. I think I said why. Oh, no, I didn't go why. All mm-hmm. right, so why do you want to reach this audience? Mm-hmm. Why should they care about anything you're talking about? Why should anybody have any reason to listen to you? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, people should listen unconditionally, but people gonna listen because it has something to do in their favor. And not even in a negative way, to where it's like, oh, monetization. Because I'll say that and people be like, oh, people just want something. But no. Mm-hmm. It should be good for people to want something. People want to gain value. You know? Right. People want to become more valuable. And valuable doesn't always have to be attached to money. So how can you bring value to somebody? You know what I'm saying? So that should be your why. Why am I listening to you? How are you going to help me or bring value to me? What are you teaching me? You know what I'm saying? And then the how. Then you turn into, all right, how I'm going to do it. That's your action plan. That's the, this is how I'm going to do it. This is how many people I'm going to talk to. Mm-hmm. This is how long it's going to take me. And that'll be your positioning statement. And you'll take that and you'll put it in a few sentences. And it'll be your motto for life.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's how you can like kind of reinvent yourself. Mm-hmm. It works in like these big multi-million dollar brands.
Yeah.
But then also in like the unit of one person. Like you can do that. Like if you don't like where you're at right now, maybe you're not. Maybe your friends are a bit toxic.
Yeah.
Or your relationship is unhealthy. You don't, maybe your, the way you eat is unhealthy and you don't have the friends that you want. Like, mm-hmm. and you want to travel, but you don't have the funds. Like, by sitting down and doing that, who, what, when, where, why.
Yeah.
And getting really clear on your vision and writing it down, like you were telling the kids at that school.
Mm-hmm.
You could recreate yourself to where in 12 months from now, you are living a completely different life.
Yeah. And another thing for life. And in marketing, mm-hmm. it's a difference between rebranding and repositioning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which one I want to start with? I guess I'll say repositioning because that's mm-hmm. the most crucial. You only want to reposition if necessary. Repositioning is like starting your whole life over. So once mm-hmm. you know you're tired of the life that you're living, that's when you reposition and do a whole 360.
That's when I repositioned from stopped everything I was doing, went to Bali, came back a new person. Mm-hmm.
So that was repositioning.
Mm-hmm.
You had to cultivate to a whole new audience. You had to redo your positioning statement, mm-hmm. everything. Now rebranding is, okay, how can I tweak small parts of myself but still stay in the same sphere?
The essence. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
keep
the
so essence. Think about Google. Google is... They should never reposition. Now, I don't care what Google goes through. Google should never reposition. But Google can continue to rebrand. They went from a search engine to AI, like they added on to themselves. Yeah, so now they got the Google Drives, the Google Docs, all of that. They changed their logo. That might be a thing. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? If you rebranding, you might want to change your aesthetic, how you dress. And that'll be your, whatever, you know, you're changing logo.
Yeah.
That'll be your rebranding, your new clothes or whatever. Now, other stuff is like just adding on to your character, but you only reposition when necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crucial. Yeah.
But I've never heard it explained like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anything else you got? We're coming up on an hour.
Mm-hmm. I guess one thing that'd be cool to talk about is I do have my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I actually had it probably since 2011 or 2010.
Oh, it got some real estate behind it.
Yeah, and then you go back and you can see the videos of me and my little sister being crazy.
Yeah.
But I just recently started uploading again maybe a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a massive break, obviously. Yeah. But something that I've been sharing, which might be helpful to some like people in your audience, is I over there I talk about everything I would tell my little sister.
Oh, yeah.
About growing up, about relationships, about beauty, about health and wellness,
mm-hmm.
in regards to, like, I guess, like, a woman or, like, I say menstruating woman because that's, like, a woman who's, like, fertile. So that's, like, kind of what I talk about over there on my YouTube channel. And I learned a lot of that stuff after doing my repositioning and going to Bali. So I realized, okay, how can you make good money, have a thriving career, like live where you want to live, but still like not have to be working all the time?
Yeah.
And so all those lessons that I learned during that time, it's like kind of like tapping, being able to tap into like feminine energy or masculine energy and use it when you need to.
Yeah.
And so far I've gotten pretty much everything I've set my mind to.
That's so good.
I guess if people want to check out my YouTube channel, it's at Rebecca Eloisa.
Oh, no, say it louder so they can hear.
It's at Rebecca Eloisa.
Now spell Eloisa because I wouldn't know how to spell that.
E-L-O-I-S-A.
Okay. All right. To end the episode off, this is very spontaneous, but do you have a quote of the day? I know I didn't prepare you for this, and the point of it is not to prepare you for it. I just want to hear what's the first quote that pop up to your head or something that you feel like you should share right now. It don't got to be perfect. It can be short. Yeah. It can be long.
Yeah. Okay, so instantly off the top of my dome.
Yeah.
It's a Bible verse.
Okay.
It's, I don't remember the exact, like, where it is in the Bible. Yeah, yeah. The numbers. But it's, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Ooh. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path.
Ooh. Ooh. I wish I had the sound effects again.
I think that too goes into creative, because I feel like we are creatives because that's where like what we work in, that's our passions, but then I feel like we're all created by the creator to create and make the world, mold the world how we want it to be.
Ooh, two quotes.
Yeah. And so I feel like that verse reminds me to like let go.
Yeah.
And to let things flow.
Oh yeah, that's really important. That's the story of my life right there. But really? I'll hold that on.
Sounds like a good story.
Yeah, because we'll be here for another hour. But thank you all for listening, for joining.
Thank you guys.
I hope I can tweak the audio because it. Ooh! Oh shit! All right. See ya.